from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Put him in the hall. Put him in the hall of fame. Parkinson Spiegel. Killer rack. Count it in a foul.
We're going to crank it up nonstop.
The Chicago Bulls, their pick is in.
With the 11th pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Chicago Bulls select Matis Buzelis from Chicago and the NBA's G League team Ignite.
We're really happy to see him there. Can't you tell? I'm very happy.
Excited.
Good.
Matis Buzelis is a Bull. And someone texted in earlier, Parkins, have we gotten your take on Buzelis yet? And like, eh, not really. Just with us being off the day after the draft. It's fine. It high upside player, young, a developmental project. I thought his reaction after the draft was adorable. You know what I mean? Incredibly endearing. Looked like he'll be an easy guy to root for. You know, if he hits, if he develops offensively, 6'10 is that plays, obviously. This is not probably not fair, but I do wonder about like proximity bias. Like, sure. Did the Lithuanian president of basketball operations draft a Lithuanian kid who's from Chicago because of those things? Like, we celebrate, you know, like local guys being on the Bears. And I'm like, if instead of being Lithuanian, he was French, and instead of being from Chicago and Hinsdale Central, he was from Atlanta, like, would he be a Bull? I'd like to hope that he would be.
I don't know that he was their first choice, though. You know, so like, while they obviously liked Matis Buzelis, and I think he did reveal that he did work out for the Bulls, I don't know if that was their guy. I mean, I didn't see him in too many mock drafts going to the Bulls at 11. So he may not have been too, if you're talking about the idea that Arturas would just go get somebody with the Lithuanian heritage and local kid, I don't know that was the guy that he wanted in the first place.
But I don't know that I trust mock drafts, and I'm not saying that they would have taken him number one overall, and they didn't trade up to get him, which is good. But And again, I am saying on the front end, I don't know if that's fair.
Right.
But there's I'm like, of everybody in the world who played any spot in the world, they draft the Lithuanian kid from Chicago.
There's a certain convenience to it.
I'm like, I hope it isn't because of those types of factors.
Yeah, but really, who cares? I mean, like, in terms of, I don't know that there was another player that was on the board then, or that, I don't know that you looked at, you and I haven't talked much about the prospects that existed.
No.
I don't think, okay, that's fine. Like, there, except for the first two guys in the draft, like, you know, three or four like definite dudes that you think might change your team, this whole thing was a crapshoot to begin with and still is, and there's so much mystery about what Buzelis is going to do when he gets to the Bulls this year anyway.
And the other thing that is interesting is that obviously you're drafting a player who's going to be young, but he's particularly young, and there's going to be rough moments, and we'll see what happens because they're clearly not done. And the back and forths and the interactions that you guys all had with Arturas after the draft were pretty telling. Like, I heard Lawrence say, you know, he's going to do this through his actions and not his words. For now, Arturas is accessible after moves happen or don't happen. We might not like what he says. He's not giving a ton of interviews, but I do think that what will happen here is the DeMar decision will come and go, and a Zach trade will happen or not happen, and then he'll speak. And because what he said about DeMar DeRozan after the fact. To me, more so than the pick of Buzelis, like the highlight of the night was what Arturas Karnišovas said about the Bulls' best player.
Arturas, you've said publicly many times you hope to re-sign DeMar DeRozan. There's been quite a bit of speculation about his future. Obviously, he can be make his own choice starting Sunday. Mm-hmm. Are you still confident in re-signing him, and is that something the organization still wants to do?
As I said also before, we're going to look at everything. You know, everything is on the table, and, you know, it's still an option.
Okay. Real quick following up. You said also you wouldn't answer a kind of overall philosophy of direction, but you'll talk to us after free agency. If memory serves, you don't talk after free agency. Next time you talk,
well, I'm going to see you hopefully in summer league, and we can, you know, chat. You know, I'll tell you all about it. So
I don't know about that. I'm going to hold
you
to that.
Okay. There you go. So I think yeah, it's important time. You know we still have to, you know, tomorrow, second day of the draft, and then free agency starts, and you know, like I said, you know, week and 2 weeks away from now, we're going to be able to comment on that.
So that is not a commitment to we want to retain DeMar DeRozan.
Not at all.
Which has been his public stance every single time that he'd been asked about DeMar DeRozan before, including reports that he had a 2-year, $80 million contract offer in front of him that hadn't been signed. And so what I said to Spiegel before the draft was, if DeMar's on this team, they have a fairly high floor because NBA games end up close in the fourth quarter and he's an excellent closer and fourth quarter player. Like, he's going to win you some close games late. And he gives you an air of professionalism and
absolutely
all of that stuff, right? You remove DeMar DeRozan, you got real questions about who's going to close games, and all of a sudden you are crazy young, and when you're young, immaturity, sloppiness, all of those things come into play. So, man, if DeMar DeRozan's not on this team next year, and they're playing 21-year-old Josh Giddey and 19-year-old Matuas Bezelis, and they trade Zach LaVine for 25 cents on the dollar, they're going to be real bad.
Well, yeah.
Real bad.
And here's the thing. There's no way at age 34, DeMar DeRozan, going on 35, there's no way that he wants any part of what the Bulls are doing right now. This upcoming year is going to be a bad one for the Bulls. They are not going to be good enough to be in the play-in tournament. It is not going to be good because they will trade Zach LaVine because they have to. And now you've got these other two players. And again, I have no idea how they're going to use Matas Bezelis, how much playing time he'll actually get. But you do have him as a project. You've got Josh Giddey. Quite frankly, that's a project too. There is as good of a teammate and desirous of being a mentor at times as we've seen DeRozan be, like with Ayo Dosunmu. Ain't no way at this point in his career that he's going to want to be a part of something that he has to be the guy. He doesn't, like, that's not something at this point he wants. Like, he wants to be a guy,
right.
But he doesn't want the pressure of that. He would prefer that Zach LaVine was there, and that we'd all prefer that Lonzo Ball is there. But there just isn't enough other than that. You know, Kobe White starting to blossom. Why would he want to be here? So my guess is they had a honest conversation with him and said, here's a direction we might go. And I would imagine DeRozan saying something like, if that's the direction you're going to go, I'm going to look elsewhere. Why wouldn't he?
Well,
he doesn't like Chicago that much.
Well, no, I guess you're right. I certainly wouldn't, because DeMar is still a good enough player that if he goes to the Clippers and Kawhi is healthy and you know that they can win 50 games.
It's all about winning now.
It should be. You would think. It's just that is a pretty drastic change from what DeMar had been saying, what the Bulls had been saying. And good, be a bottom 10 team. Keep your pick. Don't let it go to the Spurs. Good draft in 2025. Get younger. That is at least a plan. It is, though, it's selling low on assets, man.
As in should have gotten draft picks back.
I am still on that. And like I talked about this for a long time with it happened with Vooch. Losing assets for nothing is just bad business. So if DeMar just opts out and leaves, and you get nothing.
Sign and trade, I guess. But, I mean, but you're right. It's a good point.
Sign and trade. But then DeMar is weakening the team that he goes to. Yeah. So he'd be doing the Bulls a favor, and he would be wanting to, he'd be dictating the team that he gets traded to, yeah, because he could just opt out and sign with them. And so you're gonna get very little, and it would almost be an act of charity if it happens. So I would applaud the direction that they would be going. It would be an admission that this whole thing didn't work, but it's not a good thing. It's not a sign that they're well run. It's just, you would be losing your best player for nothing.
Yeah.
Other than the cap space, but then you would not want to use the cap space on a competitive player because you're not trying to win. And so what good is the cap space? You know, it's just, it's not a tenable formula to ever build a successful team. You want to cash in your assets for something.
And he went out on a limb in his explanation for getting Josh Giddey, essentially player for player, Alex Caruso, to Oklahoma City for Josh Giddey, and not going after those other, you know, potential draft picks that Oklahoma State has. He basically said that was the worth, that this guy, Josh Giddey, he is projecting to be that good. So he is rolling the, like, he's taking a stance. There's no doubt about it to me. He is putting his money on Josh Giddey being a very good player. At least those are the words that came out of his mouth, in terms of, like, we didn't need the extra picks because he was worth Alex Caruso. So he's definitely putting, you know, rolling the dice.
All right. So enough about the real analysis of the state of the Bulls. We'll find out, you know, and we'll find out more in the coming days and weeks as free agency opens and some moves happen here. But you hosted from the Advocate Center.
Yes.
With Chuck Swirsky.
Indeed, yeah.
Chuck. Legend, one of the first sports talk hosts in the history of this city.
Voice of the Bulls.
Voice of the Bulls. And it was interesting. He was emotional.
Yes.
Is that a fair character?
He was very emotional at times over certain people.
All right. Well, so we'll start here. I haven't heard any of this.
Okay.
We're going to start with Chuck's analysis and reaction to the Zach Edey selection.
Mark, I think I'm pulling a Fred Sanford. Sanford, I think I'm getting the big one.
I'm coming, Mama. Oh, I thought I flushed the toilet.
Oh, my gosh. Go ahead. Announce it. Go ahead.
According to Shams Charania, Memphis is picking Zach Edey at number 9, sources say.
I'll tell you what, Sanford and son Fred Sanford, I'm having the big one. Unbelievable.
I'm coming, Mama.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I think it would have been a fantastic get for the Bulls. I'm not even sure he was on their radar, but Memphis needed a big. And they probably tried to move up to get Klingon, and they couldn't just put the right package together. But Zach Edey, to me, he's going to, in time, he's not there yet, but in time, he's going to be a really good player.
So are you going to be extra angry at Memphis when you broadcast the Bulls-Grizzlies games this year?
My son is with the Grizzlies organization.
Oh, so you have to be kind and
nice. He worked out all these players, but he wouldn't tell me, and nor should he.
Oh, you're Joe Bag of Donuts again over here.
No, I'm not going to cross that line, whoever they work out. I mean, we have this deal, we never talk hoops, which is hard.
Really?
But I respect that.
Wow.
Look at that.
He loved Edey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he made a prediction to us. And so it just sort of clicked. No mention of it, I don't think, before the show started. Nothing. We were talking hoops and players and prospects. I don't remember. Somewhere along the way, early in the show, like a light went on, and he just said, that's it. That's it. It's got to be Zach Edey. That was going to be his guy at number 11, and you just heard the emotions pouring out.
Mark, I think I'm pulling a Fred Sanford. Sanford, I think I'm getting the big one.
I'm coming, Mama.
And Peter Hansen, our intern, was there to witness all of this as well. I feel like in the pantheon of learning, I think he learned a lot that night.
Yeah?
Yes. Oh, everything. Everything that was good. Technically, Ryan Porth doing heroic things, getting us hooked up to the press conference, and just some of the content that Chuck and I were providing on this night.
Well, you're 30 minutes away from singing. Was it a learning experience, Peter?
Oh yeah, it was incredible. Seeing Chuck react in real time to the Grizzlies react to Zach Edey.
We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming.
Okay, and then I heard you you used a term on the air maybe that Chuck did not like so much.
Yeah. Yes.
As we sit here, Chuck, I should give a little bit of what we are seeing right now. It's a relatively small amount of media here right now, but they will start to trickle in, and some of them are probably outside getting a snack right now, but they will begin to trickle in as we get closer to the draft, which actually takes place starting at 7 o'clock. We have been told, too, that the rooms just to the right of where we are sitting under one of the baskets, that is actually the Bulls war room, where the power that be, like Arturs Karnišovas and Mark Eversley and Billy Donovan, will be working. So we are right there for that.
This is just my opinion, not the Bulls. I'm not in the upstairs room.
Okay.
I don't like calling it the war room, by the way.
Well, okay, you don't like the war room? You don't like intern? I mean, you're really laying some words out man.
I think it's a disservice to the climate. And I'm not trying to be politically correct, but I just don't like the quotation "the war room."
Yeah, no, I understand. These are sensitive times.
Mean, yeah, yes. But I mean, we got people deciding on basketball players.
I know,
it's not a war room.
But we always do that with sports. It's like the football. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
like,
I mean, what? So we got a testosterone level and a macho thing.
I think it is something like that. Yeah, it's just all taking off of the armed services. So I don't know what we could, if you would. Like Chuck, hey, we could come up with
Douglas
another name
MacArthur
for it.
Ain't walking through the door, okay? Just
that's
saying.
True. I mean, no, it's true.
Schwarzkopf, with the Iraqi War back in the day,
right? General Schwarzkopf,
Desert Storm.
He is not walking.
Well,
through
I'd like
door.
That point guard from what? No,
who's the guy? Franks or some Bubba Franks? No, that was the Green Bay Packers.
What?
There was a general named Franks, though.
Tommy,
I think
Tommy.
Herman Franks was a Cubs manager.
He was the Cubs manager.
Yeah, I don't think I know for a fact that
this
Herman
is
Franks,
really off the rails in the first 10 minutes.
Herman Franks is not walking through that door.
Of the first 10 minutes of the broadcast, you said the words Bubba Franks.
Yeah, just on
the NBA draft show, you said Bubba Franks.
Yeah, you know, it was Tommy Franks was the name I was trying to come up with, and I couldn't quite get there. But yeah, Bubba Franks was the next name to come out of my mouth. Douglas MacArthur.
That's got to be 1,000,000 to 1. If it's 6 o'clock, I would have said to the audience, what are the odds that Bubba Franks' name is said in the next 10 minutes of this NBA draft show?
Or even more so, Herman Franks, who was the manager for the Chicago Cubs before Jim Frey, which is like late 70s, early 80s. I don't even know if he was in the 70s. I barely remember the guy. I remember him enough to reference him, though. Big, angry guy.
Oh my God! Is that incredible?
That was, and that's what was going on, man.
I don't like calling it the war room. By the way,
well, okay, you don't like the war room. You don't intern. I mean, you're really laying words out here, man.
I think it's a disservice to the climate.
You know, I got caught up in the woke BS.
Yeah, it's tough out there.
I never got to the intern. He doesn't like the word. What's a better word for intern? Internship. I feel like that's fine. I think that's a good word.
Well, Mark, good to see you. Good to see Ryan. Good to see our intern, although I don't like that word, the terminology. I'll just say that Peter Hansen.
He's our free assistant. How about that?
He is our assistant today, okay. And I'm loving it. From the University of Illinois, Terrence Shannon to the rack. Count it. And a foul. When I first met Peter,
yes.
I said, Peter, let me ask you a question. I mean, you follow the Illini, you're involved with the broadcast on Big Ten Plus, all that good stuff. I said, does Terrence Shannon have a right hand? You know, like, does he shake everyone's hand with his left because he's a natural left hand? But
yeah, let's talk about some of what the Bulls might do at number 11. He's the voice of the Bulls, Chuck Swirsky.
Oh,
I'm Mark
God.
Brody. We also have our program director, Ryan Porth, out here. Peter Hansen is in the house, the Illini guy, our intern, unless you came up with a better word to use instead of intern, since that Chuck is anti the word intern.
Yes. But and don't forget Alex Kuhn.
That was a big theme. He's very protective of Alex Kuhn. I don't know if it's just, and you should, like, Alex Kuhn is excellent at his job. So I don't know if it's like Chuck is very protective
of Alex Kuhn. Somehow we found that out on this night because that wasn't the first time he brought up Alex Kuhn.
Did we get to why we don't like the word intern? I get war terminology in sports. It's not that significant. Right. I wouldn't get upset about it or call out my co-host six minutes into a broadcast.
We can admit it's dumb that we do it, but we're not going to stop doing it. Like, it is dumb to call it the war room.
Yeah,
it is.
But the war. And I find it a little bit more ridiculous when players are like, you know, these are my guys that I go to war with. It's like,
Not really.
You don't go to war.
But we all let it go because we understand that it is ultimately innocuous and everybody knows they're not going to war.
And people are not trying to be offensive or whatever.
Exactly.
But what was the intern issue? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, that's what I was saying.
I can't really see the issue there.
I don't understand. Well, what do you think, intern?
There's gotta be.
Was this presented to you as an internship from Odyssey?
Yeah.
It's an intern. They use the terminology internship. Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's still a good word. So I think Chuck was out of... Chuck, I'm sorry. You were out of line with that one.
I mean, I know some people don't like the idea of free labor, which is a good thing.
Maybe it's not the word. It was the concept.
Yeah, it's a paid internship around here, though.
Yeah, it's a paid internship. So conceptually...
Yeah, it is.
Peter Ponderings.
Oh, boy.
Am I going straight to the office here after this
segment?
Yeah, there's no way.
Hey, we pay these people.
No, that's what I'm saying. I really don't get the argument against paid internships. I can't imagine that there is one.
Right, especially when somebody like... me, and I wonder you too. I didn't get paid for my internship.
No, college credit. Yeah. Just get college credit.
Which was good enough.
A big farce that was. But no, it was great. I was happy to get the experience. But all right. Wow. Man, it sounds like a minefield hosting with the voice of the Bulls there. You never know what word he's going to pounce
on. No, it's great. Like I said, off-season Chuck is the best. I mean, it really, like, he was itching to. I'm trying to get him on a show that I'm co-hosting with Alyssa Bergamini on Monday. We're, like, talking about who. I said, let's get Chuck on. We'll talk Bulls, and we'll spray it all fields with him. So, Chuck,
you
if you're listening, we're this isn't a desperate attempt to get Chuck on the
radio. I
got
his number if you need it.
Yeah, I think he's available. But he's doing, like, some summer league NBA play-by-play stuff, so he's actually pretty busy. So
you should be able to get him.
Bears.
All right, Peter Sings in 20 minutes, but this might come as a shock to you. The Cubs have another injury. I'll give you the news on the other side. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
This is Joe Pantoliano, Joey Pants. And I am here at the request of MOB. Keep up the good work. Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Afternoons on the score.
Although I don't like that word, the terminology.
Gotta be careful. Around Chuck Swirsky.
Now I know.
Peter Ponderings, the intern, will sing in about 15 minutes.
Sick.
The Cubs, man. Keegan Thompson is going on the injured list.
What?
With a right rib fracture. Ethan Roberts is up, which is kind of exciting. He's one of the guys that Spiegel has been calling for them to try. Jorge Lopez's contract has been selected. And the new guy, Natoli, has been DFA'd already, so that was short-lived. But just to add it to another injury to the bullpen, and Keegan Thompson, you know, since he was horrible to start the year, he was just a disastrous May, he had a clean June. No earned runs in four appearances after he kind of made his return in the month of June. It wasn't a huge sample, but, you know, five and a third innings across four appearances with no earned runs. And, you know, he was a little wild at times, but, you know. I mean, add it to the list, man, right? Almonte now into the 60-day IL. Obviously, Merriweather. Mark Leiter, Alzolay, and now Keegan Thompson. Ethan Roberts, exciting enough. You know, he's 5'10". He's 26 years old. Not a ton of big league experience to speak of at all, but has been pretty effective this year in 13 innings of work at Iowa.
They, just like their offense, it's the same thing in the bullpen. They need somebody to get hot. I'm not asking for the answer at closer right now. I'm asking for somebody to go on a run.
A guy you trust. Bullpen.
A guy you trust for sure. And you know what? Like Keegan Thompson had a chance to be that. One of his first performances back was in the San Francisco series at Wrigley Field, and yep. He had a clutch save that day. And I hate to say
He struck out the side in that.
The side. I hate to say this, but Keegan Thompson is starting to trend in that direction of lost cause, because he was, I kind of put Justin Steele and Keegan Thompson next to each other. They were kind of like coming up on the same trajectory. You know, it was still a little bit ambiguity on who would be a starter, and that clearly was Justin Steele. Could Keegan Thompson become a starter? Didn't work out, but I thought that he would be a terrific late-inning guy, and unfortunately, injuries have been tearing him down, and then just bits of wildness, too, that you've landed. And I hate to say that about Keegan Thompson, but every time I get my hopes up, it starts to go down, and usually those guys eventually are out of your organization.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much volatility with relief pitchers, and they had been having some success of, you know, having these reclamation projects and believing in their pitching infrastructure and all that. They're just at a point, man, where they have to try something new, and maybe a young guy who has had a cup of coffee in the big leagues before is too young or too like wide-eyed to like realize that he's not supposed to be performing. And yeah, he comes up and gives you 8 straight scoreless outings or something like that, just to stabilize you for a week or two until some guys can come back or someone else can get hot.
Right. I'm not – it'd be great if there was a legit discovery, but exactly, somebody to stabilize the bullpen. And unfortunately, like you mentioned all those guys like on the disabled list right now, and Alzolay and Yency Almonte, I know you're just going through the pitchers, but on this team as a whole, we're at the point like what has been the worst – injury, what has affected this team the most, because you've got a lineup of guys too, like Mike Tauchman, who is, it sounds crazy, but that guy is well missed relative to what the rest of the team was doing. And
so, I was just talking about relief pitchers just for the bullpen, because people are like, Jed didn't do enough for the bullpen. It's not to defend Jed, because Alzolay came into the year with Alzolay as the closer, and he was brutal in April before he got hurt.
Right, miscalculation.
That was a miscalculation, clearly. But the Neris signing, I don't remember a critical word being said about
it. Same, yeah. No, absolutely.
Back-to-back very productive years with a ton of appearances, and the old axiom that there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract. So a veteran relief pitcher who's pitched in postseason games for a big-time organization on a one-year deal, like that was reasonable. They've now just had the underperformance for sure, but a crazy number of injuries in one aspect of the team. Yes, the Seiya injury derailed him. I think that obviously mattered. Tauchman, they've had injuries to position players, but I mean, Leiter getting hurt was a little different. But there was a minute when they had 4 righty power arms in their bullpen, all hurt.
Yeah.
And then you add Leiter on top of it. It's like, man, it's just, I don't know any bullpen that would be able to overcome it. And then the guy that would be the solution to it, your young guys, Ben Brown and Cade Horton, also hurt.
Yeah, it's been.
You know what? Where are they supposed to go? I just don't know how much I can put that on Jed when it's 6 injuries to arms that either were in your bullpen on opening day or were your top reinforcements for your bullpen in your organization, like Ben Brown and Cade Horton. Where are they supposed to go? Not a rhetorical question. Like, I honestly, I keep saying this to Spiegel, like, who? I don't know. What's the name it should be?
Well, and that goes back to my point. I'm at the point of somebody get hot in that bullpen, or this season's going to go away. So you're cool with Jed on that, and you stated your case well. But the flaw still is with the everyday team. That I definitely see the everyday lineup, like in terms of the way it was constructed. Like, and that does fall on Jed.
I agree. I think the biggest problem with the Cubs, I've said it for 2 years, is they don't have a star that they can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the guy that you like, that's 35 home runs. Like that's for 2 years.
Well, or
like,
they're misprojecting because I think that they and who knows, maybe Christopher Morrell will get there. But I think that it's very easy to look at him and say this is where they miscalculated. Like they're like
their best power hitter.
Well, I know, but a lot of us thought that they should get another bat other than just bringing back Cody Bellinger. And then, of course, you have Morrell, who we know the power exists, but can he play every day? So I actually got to a point where I understood why they kind of force-fed him third base and said, just go out there and do it, and we'll deal with that as an opportunity cost because, damn it, you have to be productive. You have to hit 30 home runs because we are exactly counting on you, and that's a miscalculation on the overall player.
I agree. Now, they could have traded for one because everyone clamoring for Matt Chapman – he's been worse than Morrell this year. So Morrell has been your best offensive player in terms of power. And now Bush looks better recently, but like Matt Chapman's hitting .235 with 9 bombs. That's not an upgrade from what Christopher Morrell has been.
The answer.
So there was not a free agent this past year, assuming they weren't going to get Shohei, that would have solved that problem. Does not mean they could not have traded for someone or anything like that. I wanted Machado. I wanted Soto. All of those things we were talking about. But that answer, I actually do not think would have been the solution to this team's problems.
At one point in time, man. I mean, I think that they thought Matt Mervis might be that guy. That's another guy that's starting to look like in that category of Keegan Thompson. Like it just looks like it might not work out. That was one of their potential power sources. And then the guy we're just talking about, Christopher Morrell, and, you know, they still could be a year or two away in their development, but it just doesn't look good right now, especially, and I know, like, there's a lot of younger players in the farm system that look to be really good, but there's just nobody from most of these positions to come up and just help now, unless you count PCA, and that's another whole conversation about PCA and what he is exactly.
Yeah, we can do that in the 5 o'clock hour when we do some Cubs and Brewers. I'm sure he'll come up. But no, the bullpen is a huge problem, infuriating to watch, underperforming, but I do think the biggest issue is injury. The lineup is just, these guys aren't hitting. Like Dansby, Saya, Bellinger, Morrell, Bush, Nico, Happ. Your prime paid veteran players that are just not producing at the level that they're supposed to.
Right, but
that's the problem.
It's been going on long enough now to be like, is it chronic? Is this team, have there been missteps in the players that we're depending on now? Long-term.
Peter Hansen, the intern, programs the 440 segment. That happened when I was gone. I came back and immediately bullied him in singing. So that happens next on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Afternoons on The Score.
It's time for Peter's Ponderings.
Yeah, so I was kind of bugged by something I saw on Twitter over the weekend.
Oh. We give our intern, Peter, one segment a day to program as he sees fit.
Intern, although I don't like that word, the terminology.
Doing some sort of illegal drugs.
Peter's Ponderings.
Yeah, I've heard Dave Roberts is like a really bad guy.
Peter's Ponderings with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
This segment is really taking off. Peter Hansen, he's learning the world through the eyes of the Parkins and Spiegel show. He spent time with Dan and Lawrence and Ray and everyone in Studs. He shadowed Ryan Porth. He was with you at the Advocate Center.
Yeah, you were.
Mark Grody.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, you were.
And he's got a great voice, don't you, Peter?
Thank you. I appreciate it. You have one too, though.
Well, I know. Thank you very much. And so the question is, do you also have the voice of an angel when you sing? And so, you know, because it's well documented, Grody, you know this, that when I sing, I bring the house down.
Yeah, you do.
Everybody knows that.
Humbling down.
And so, we said, well, what do you sing? And so what is your choice today, sir?
Yeah, the Pina Colada song. Classic karaoke song.
Pina Colada song is your favorite karaoke song.
You wanna drink Pina Colada?
I'm not sure how it goes. Honestly, we're about to find out from the one Peter Pondering. Peter Hansen.
And here it comes. Let's listen.
You guys said I would wimp out. Not.
Okay, we haven't heard, we haven't heard anything yet. So, what a buildup.
I was tired of my lady. We've been together too long. Like a worn out recording.
Let's go, Peter.
Of a favorite song.
Yeah, yeah.
So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. In the personal columns, or was this letter I read? If you like pina coladas, getting caught in the rain. If you're not into yoga, and you have half a brain.
I knew it. It's good.
If Ronnie James is bad at basketball.
Whoa!
And the Cubs really stink.
Woo!
Whoa. I'm the love that you looked for. Write to me an escape from this bad Cubs season.
Oh, improv there. All right, let's give it up for Peter Hansen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Intern.
That, as we suspected, it was good.
What can't he do is what the people are saying.
Thank you for that tepid applause.
That was pretty good. That was pretty strong.
Yeah,
a little
man.
Improv in there. Changed up the lyrics, I assume.
Right.
I assume that's not part of the original song.
Inflection was great. The tone was perfect.
Yeah, you stayed within your...
The performance smile. It was everything.
Your vocal range there.
And I love the song. I do. It's got a great beat, and it's a lot of fun. I like the way they sing it.
Wow.
Did you know that that song, Pina Colada, it is beautiful. And I only learned probably last year what that song was actually about. And now when I hear it, like when you actually hear the long song and the lyrics that go with it, it's beautiful. Is it? Is it not?
What's it about?
You don't know?
No.
Are you serious? There's no way.
Yeah, maybe after he finds out what it's really about, he can sing it again and maybe give a different context.
Yeah.
Sing with a little emotion.
Yeah. Well, it's about a couple, a married couple, that appear to be dissatisfied with their marriage. And so they're both looking elsewhere and they're both taking out personal ads to go meet people. And then ultimately, a lot of song, they get together on this blind date and it's each other that shows up because they never knew that you loved Pina Colada and whatever the rest of the lyrics were, dancing outside or something to that effect.
Getting beautiful. Caught in the rain.
Yes.
I'm glad you thought about that when you heard me sing today.
Yeah, it was, I got emotional looking at you right now with your glasses and your headphones and the white teeth, the whole thing. Yep.
So the lesson is, you know, grass isn't always greener. Maybe appreciate what you have. Variety is not the spice of life.
Or get to know each other a little better. Like, I didn't know that you were so into pina coladas. How could I not have known that?
Right.
And they actually get together because they were both prepared to cheat on each other, but it was them. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Did you know that, Danny?
No, you know what? I didn't.
You didn't. Tanny, did you know that?
I got to be honest.
I did, yeah.
Oh, you did.
Like,
people are supposed to know that, right? Like, me learning that a year ago.
No, I wouldn't say that.
I'm a little late to the party, pal. I mean, just a little bit.
I wouldn't say supposed to know that.
Okay.
Yeah, many people in our audience, I'm sure, did not know that.
Okay. Now they do.
Wow. Good job, man.
Yeah, you didn't expect that to come on the right after Peter's pondering.
No, Peter was pondering what the song was about.
So how many times have you sang that particular song now, Peter?
Probably about four.
Four. This is about your fourth time. That was excellent work.
Yeah, it really was.
Really, really good. And the seems like you're down on this Cubs team. I was able to gather that.
Yeah, I was trying to maybe segue a little bit into how bad they are, and I think I'm out. I think I'm out on them.
You're out on them.
I don't think that they should buy at all this trade deadline. I think it's just not their year.
A lot of time. Last year we were saying the same thing. Then they had an 8-game winning streak, changed everyone's mind.
You know, it's interesting.
Still fell short.
About that is we, I think, like, a lot of us that thought the Cubs were going to do well this year, and a lot of national pundits, because I went back and looked, and most of the big networks and publications did pick the Cubs to at least win the division. We all did something that I don't think is usually done in media, and that is to take the positive part of a season that the Cubs had last year when we easily could have taken what were two bad parts to the season, the part early when they're 10 games under 500, the part late where they have a 92% chance of getting into the playoffs, and then they choke. But we all chose the comeback. Like that was the part we chose to say, yeah, they're on the come, when in fact maybe we should have taken a closer look at what happened when this thing tore down and they turned back into a pumpkin at the end of last
year. Yeah, you know, I think that's reasonable. The logic that I still think made sense was the numbers said they performed better than an 83 win team. Then they upgraded at manager, who should help them win in the margins. And with this farm system that has all of this depth, they'll play well and then trade for whatever holes they end up having. And that play well part is the thing that we took for granted. Yeah. Some injury, some underperformance, manager can't fix all of the problems, all of those things. And it's like, man, they, to Peter's point, why would you buy for this team right now? Like, if the trade deadline was tomorrow, I would not be advocating for them to buy.
Right, and Jed Hoyer said that in one of his most recent appearance here on The Score, that the guys that are on the field need to get better, that yeah. they need to play better. There's not somebody, and he was pretty realistic, there's not somebody out there that's going to come in right now and make this all better. You guys, the ones that I've given extensions to, the ones that I am paying, the ones that I've drafted, you need to play better right now.
Yeah, and so, and the other thing is, man, I know there's not a direct correlation. Like, the team that spends the most does not always win. But when you spend $100 million more than the next, or it's $50 million more than the Cardinals, and a little over $100 million more than the Brewers, you're outspending your division by such a considerable margin, you should win. This isn't the Padres and the Dodgers competing with each other with big payrolls, or the Yankees and the Red Sox competing with each other with big payrolls. This is like, you're supposed to be the big brother, the varsity team, beating up on these little JV teams that don't have the resources, and they're all clowning you.
Yeah,
right now they're all making. So I'm saying that is what gave, at least me, I'll say I'm guilty of it, I'll point a thumb, arrogance, confidence of, man, they have more resources. Teams with more resources, generally speaking, win, but they are using those resources very poorly.
They also set, this organization also set a brand new precedent, like in terms of, like, when they won in 2016. That changed everything in terms of the way this, or what the expectations are of this organization. Peter, I'm sorry. Did I jump you, man? Go right
ahead.
I'm
not just a jukebox, guys.
You can't be used like that.
You had more pondering.
Get back in here. Ponder away, please. Ponder.
Well, I just think the Cubs are in a weird liminal space right now where it's like, if you were to try, and if a fan was to say, I think we should buy at the deadline, you look at every single position where they need to upgrade offensively. And it's like, what, you're going to trade so that Ian Happ sits in the outfield, or Cody, or Seiya? I feel like all of these fans have these attachments to these players who are underperforming, and as a result of that, we stink, because nobody wants to see these guys go, but they're not good.
Yeah, well, I mean, Seiya, I'm not done with Seiya. Bellinger, they would trade.
We stinks.
They would trade Bellinger. And yes, we stinks.
Well, you know what I don't know about this team, guys? Peter, you don't have to take those headphones off. That what I don't like about this is, all of a sudden, or what I don't know about this is, what is the core? I thought I had a pretty good idea of what the Cubs core was, but now I feel like that's changing again.
Well, let's pick that up on the other side ahead of this big series with Milwaukee. It's Parkinson Spiegel with Grody in on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.